We'll have time for questions at the end on DCAs and absolutely everything else. But in the meantime, let's maybe move on to chat about a new topic.
Great. Anything
else you want to add on?
No, okay. That's great. So now I'm going to talk about recoverable grants, which seems completely different, but is not always so different as we think about working with different types of entities. And often we'll use DCAs when we're thinking about working with a for-profit entity and we want more control over that work, we want control over intellectual property, et cetera. But there are other ways we can work with for-profit grantees as well, or for-profit entities, and one of those is a recoverable grant. And I think recoverable grants often feel like new shiny toy, fun thing, but they are quite complicated. And I would say for us at Rockefeller, we didn't do them for many years. We went through a period of actually only making them to nonprofit organizations where we were comfortable doing grant making. And then in the past few years, we decided to restart our recoverable grant program as we thought about how they would be most impactful for some of our work that didn't quite fall into the PRI category, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. And so it begs the question, what is a recoverable grant? And really, it's a grant to an organization that has some form of revenue-generating charitable project. And as part of that grant, there's going to be a repayment component or a conversion terms. And so if we are working on a project where we think there's going to be some kind of revenue-generating component, a recoverable grant is really a loan to that organization. And as that revenue starts coming back, we can think about that coming back to the foundation in order to make sure that that revenue isn't sitting with the grantee. And in the event that the profit in the end isn't achieved, or the expected goal of the project isn't achieved, then the loan is really forgiven and the grantee just keeps those funds and it's like any other grant. So I think it's helpful, if you go to the next slide, yeah, to think about the spectrum, the sort of investment continuum. So as you see, we start with pure endowment funds and then we can kind of move into the MRI land, and then we kind of cross over the barrier into PRIs, subsidized PRIs, and you can see there's this move from lower risk to higher risk and sort of higher financial return to lower financial return. So recoverable grants is like really far over there towards a regular grant. You don't, there may be some likelihood of financial return. There is this revenue generation project, but it is not a sure bet that the project's really gonna come back with revenue. And so it's sometimes hard to make a distinction between do we wanna do a PRI or a grant, but I think thinking about it in terms of financial return and risk and this continuum helps you think about where it can land. And if you go to the next slide, so why would you choose a recoverable grant over a regular grant? As I said, you expect there to be some generation of income. The project is probably high risk. Either the entity itself is unproven or whatever the project you're funding is unproven. But you do expect there to be significant impact. And often the funds are used as bridge funding. So there are high upfront costs for some project, research, development, market studies, and the grantee doesn't really have the funds to cover that, and it's unlikely that other funding would come in. So that's often the analysis for a PRI, but here it's even more unlikely that those other funds would come in. And I mentioned up front that sometimes we do this with a nonprofit because maybe they're testing out a new product or something like that, and there's going to be some revenue generation to that product. The closing process is also going to be a lot more streamlined, and also for some organizations, they just flat out will not make PRIs. They don't have a process, they don't have a team, they just don't have the infrastructure to do PRIs, or their board has made a decision, we're not a program-related investment organization. Recoverable grants, again, sit in that sweet spot in between where you can have some of that benefit of a PRI without, you know, fully being in PRI land, if you will. Next slide. The other thing we need to think about As you all know, when we're thinking about giving funds to a for-profit entity, we worry about private benefit. And we know that the private benefit needs to be incidental to the public benefit. Well, if you think about recovering some of those funds, that is one way that we can decrease the private benefit to those for-profit entities. And another thing is mitigating reputational risk. If you're thinking about giving funds to a for-profit entity, some people might think, why are you giving a grant to this entity that is a for-profit? You're enriching that other organization. If you're doing it as a recoverable grant, it sort of mitigates some of that reputational risk as well. Next slide. So we treat recoverable grants at Rockefeller as PRIs. I know in some of my conversations today, not everyone does that. And so, you know, among people in this room, there may be different ways that you guys all think about recoverable grants. We treat it as a loan and a PRI. So we have to go through all the requirements of a PRI. And I'm not going to go through them in a lot of detail because I know there's a session about this tomorrow. But as many of you know, it still has to have a primary purpose of accomplishing charitable purposes. You can't have production of income as a significant purpose, and you have to make sure that there's no lobbying involved. Next slide.